that nothing is as easy as it looks. Everything takes longer than you think, and if anything can go wrong, it will at the worst possible moment. Well, Murphy's Law kind of kicked in for me this morning. You may not be aware of Johnson's corollary to Murphy's Law. Johnson said Murphy was an optimist. I love that. So, because I've had some computer difficulties, we're going to begin without the song that we normally sing together before I begin preaching. Last Sunday, I talked with you about the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And one of the questions that often arises when you think about the Genesis account of creation is how long were the days of creation? Scientists tell us that the universe in which we live is very, very old. 13.8 billion years, they tell us. Our solar system, 4.5 billion years old. They tell us that dinosaurs walked the earth from about 252 million to 65 million years ago, and that humans appeared on the scene about 195,000 years ago. How old is the universe? Well, scientists tell us one thing, and the Bible appears at least to indicate something very different. Scientists tell us that our universe is millions and billions of years old, and they base that on various dating methods and the doctrine of uniformitarianism. And that idea is that current natural processes have always existed. In other words, what's going on today is what has always gone on. And so they don't factor in a flood in the days of Noah, which was a very catastrophic event. When you look at the Bible and the chronological information in the Word of God, it seems to indicate that the universe is a few thousand years old. If we understand the 7 days of creation as literal 24-hour days, and when you consider the genealogical information in Scripture, that points to a young earth. Now, atheistic scientists, they don't care what the Bible says. They don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They have no interest in trying to harmonize their scientific theories with what the Bible says. But on the other hand, there are those who believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and they also believe that what the scientists tell us about the age of the universe and the solar system is correct. And so they try to harmonize what scientists say with what the Bible indicates. Well, to do that, you've got to insert a lot of time. And that time has to be inserted either before the creation week, before Genesis 1:1, or during the creation week, or after the creation week. To be honest with you, I'm not sure that anybody tries to insert eons of time after the creation week. But some do try to insert it before, and others try to insert it during creation week. And they have offered various theories to explain the days of creation. There is the 24-hour day theory and the gap theory, the day-age theory, the creation day theory, the time dilation theory, and the revelatory or pictorial day theory. Now, if you've never heard of these various explanations, let me explain these views quickly. It's not my purpose this morning to deal with these various explanations in any detail at all. Of course, those who take the Bible literally, they believe that the creation days were 6 24-hour days, adding up to 144 hours. Those who try to harmonize Genesis 1 and 2 with what scientists say, many of them have adopted what's called the gap theory. They believe that there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2 and following, a gap of millions of years. Others suggest that the 6 days of creation were not literal 24-hour days, but rather 6 long ages. The creation day theory proposes that you do have 6 literal 24-hour days, but you've got long gaps between each day. And the time dilation theory says that the first 3 days of creation week were long ages because the sun wasn't created until day 4. But when you get to day 4 and following, those were literal 24-hour days. And then some have suggested that the 6 days of creation were what they call revelatory days. In other words, the creation events were revealed to Moses on 6 different days. Now, I suspect that everyone in this assembly believes that the 6 days of creation were literal 24-hour days. That's what I believe. But if someone were to challenge you on that idea, if they were to ask you, well, why do you believe that these days were literal 24-hour days? What would you say? The Hebrew word that is translated day is the Hebrew word yom, and it's used over 2,200 times in the Old Testament. And it's interesting to me that we really don't seem to have much trouble understanding what this word means, except in the book of Genesis, specifically in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. Now, I need to mention the fact that the Hebrew word yom, like the English word day, means different things in different contexts. Sometimes it refers to the period of daylight. Anybody remember Cole Porter's song, "Night and Day, You Are the One"? Well, we understand what he was talking about, right? Tammy's never heard of that song. We understand that in that song, he's talking about the period of daylight. And then the Hebrew word yom, like the English word day, is used to talk about a 24-hour day. And it's certainly used that way in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, when the text says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. I think it's pretty obvious that in that verse, that word is talking about 24-hour days. And then there are times when the Hebrew word yom and the English word day is used to talk about an indefinite period of time. You will understand what I mean when I say in George Washington's day, men wore powdered wigs. Right? You understand that I'm using the word day to refer to an indefinite, extended period of time. It appears that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17 that the word day is used to refer to a particular point in time. God told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then there are some passages in the Old Testament where this word in the plural is used to talk about a year. And so, both the English word day and the Hebrew word yom mean different things in different contexts. What does the word mean in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2? Well, I believe that it means, or it's talking about, a 24-hour solar day. That's what you believe, isn't it? Why do you believe that? Well, let me explain why I believe it in the hopes that this will be helpful to all of us. My purpose this morning is not really to persuade. I think we're probably all on the same page here. My purpose is to equip and inform and perhaps remind you of things that you have already heard on other occasions. Verses that talk about light and day indicate a 24-hour period of time. Look at Genesis 1, verse 4 and 5. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And then when the Hebrew word yom is used with a number, as it is repeatedly, in Genesis chapter 1, it always or almost always refers to a 24-hour day. Look over at Genesis chapter 30 and verse 36. Genesis 30, verse 36. Text says, then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. We understand what that means, don't we? We understand that he's talking in that verse about a 24-hour day. And then when the Hebrew word yom is used with the expressions evening and morning, that indicates a 24-hour day. Look at Exodus chapter 18 and verse 13. The text says, and so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. Now, I hope you see that I'm just giving you some sampling here. We can't look at every passage where this kind of language is used. But when you've got the word day used along with the terms evening and morning, that suggests a 24-hour day. And then notice verse 14 of Genesis chapter 1. I think we read that a moment or two ago. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." Is there any real question or doubt that in that verse, that language suggests that the days under consideration were 24-hour days? Now, some have suggested that there are some passages where the Hebrew word yom and a number isn't talking about a 24-hour day necessarily. In Psalm 90, Moses talks about evening and morning, but he doesn't use the word day in those verses, but it's suggested that that's an exception. But I would submit to you that if that's correct, and I haven't the time to explore that in any depth, the exception proves the rule. I think we can certainly say that under these circumstances, the Hebrew word yom always or almost always refers to a 24-hour day. But then I would suggest to you that the Sabbath instructions that Moses gave the Israelites indicates that the days of creation were 24-hour days. Let's look at one of those passages. That's not what I wanted to do. Let's go there. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. This is when God gave the Israelites the Sabbath command. He said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." You've got similar language in Exodus 31, verses 14 and following. Now I ask you, in this passage, what would the Israelites have understood Moses to mean when he said, "God created the universe in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day, and you're to work 6 days and rest on the seventh day"? Could they have possibly fathomed long eons of time? Does that make any sense at all? It doesn't make any sense to me. In fact, I believe that this evidence is so strong, I would call it un-get-overable. But then I would also suggest that this idea that the days of creation were long ages, maybe millions of years each, It seems absolutely impossible. When you think about what we're told in the Genesis account. Because you see, it would mean that plants existed in long ages of light and dark. And as my brother-in-law, David Disselkamp, would say, what's up with that? How does that work? How could that possibly work? And plants were created on day three. The sun, moon, the stars were not created until day four. So you've got plants before the sun, the moon, and the stars. How would that work if these days are long ages of time? And then you've got plants before insects and birds. And how are plants pollinated? I almost said populated, but the right word is pollinated. How are plants pollinated? Well, usually through insects and at least some birds. Kathy likes hummingbirds, and she's got the hummingbird feeder. And I would suggest that if Moses had intended to convey the idea of long ages of time, there were better terms to do that, like the Hebrew word dor or olam. Those words would more clearly convey the idea to the Hebrew mind of long ages of time. And then let me remind you that in Matthew chapter 19, when the Pharisees came to Jesus and they asked him about divorce, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, have you not read that in the beginning he made them male and female, and said that a man's to leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two are to become one flesh? Please notice that Jesus places Adam and Eve at the beginning. And my secretary has striked again. Now, I did that on purpose. And if you were here Wednesday night, you understand the inside joke there. Jesus talked about Abel living from the foundation of the world. And we read about Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Well, now, how could Jesus have said that Adam and Eve were created at the beginning and Abel lived from the foundation of the world if these days were long ages? Maybe millions of years each. Notice what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. He says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul says that the invisible attributes of God, his power and his divinity, are clearly seen since when? Since the creation of the world. Well, now how could Paul have said that if these were long ages, millions of years each, before you've got Adam and Eve coming along? And then you've got Bible teaching that tells us that death and corruption were the consequences of the fall. Brethren, I really believe that the biblical evidence that I have shared with you this morning strongly points to the fact that the days of creation were six literal 24-hour days, and there are several biblical scholars who would agree with the apparent strength of this evidence. William Dembski says, "The young earth solution to reconciling the origin of creation with natural history makes good exegetical and theological sense. Indeed, the overwhelming consensus of theologians to the Reformation held this view. I myself would adopt it in a heartbeat, except that nature seems to present such a strong evidence against it. I'm hardly alone in my reluctance to accept young earth creationism. In our current mental environment, informed as it may be by modern astrophysics and geology, the scientific community as a whole regards young earth creationism as untenable." Do you see what he's saying? He's saying when you look at the biblical evidence, it looks like the earth is young, but science says it's old, and so we got to go with science. He says, "Dating methods, in my view, provide strong evidence for rejecting this face value chronological reading of Genesis 4 through 11. And there are a lot of well-known evangelical apologists who are now arguing that Genesis 1 through 11, chapter 1 through 11, is just myth and legend, not history. John Salehammer says, "The most natural reading of the text in Genesis 1 is that the phrase, 'it was evening and it was morning,' one day refers to the evenings and mornings and hence days of our everyday lives. That, in fact, is how the passage was interpreted within the Pentateuch itself." And he refers to the passage that we noted a few moments ago. James Boyce writes, "We have to admit here that the exegetical basis of the creationists is strong. In spite of the careful biblical and scientific research that has accumulated in support of the creationist view, there are problems that make the theory wrong to most, including many evangelical scientists. Data from various disciplines point to a very old earth and even older universe." What's he saying? The Bible says it's young, science says it's old, we got to go with science. Gleason Archer says, "From a superficial reading of Genesis 1, the impression would seem to be that the entire creative process took place in six 24-hour days. If this was the true intent of the Hebrew author, this seems to run counter to modern scientific research, which indicates that the planet Earth was created several billion years ago." appreciate an observation that the great reformer Martin Luther said, the days of creation were ordinary days in length. We must understand that these days were actual days contrary to the opinion of the Holy Fathers. Whenever we observe that the opinions of the fathers disagree with Scripture, let me pause for a moment. You see, this idea that the earth is really, really, really old is not that new. Some of the church fathers had that idea. That's what Luther is alluding to. He says, whenever we observe that the opinions of the fathers disagree with Scripture, we reverently bear with them and acknowledge them to be our elders. Nevertheless, we do not depart from authority of Scripture for their sake. And you know what I say to that? Amen. It boils down to this. Paul says in Romans 3, verse 4, certainly not, indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. I'm not a scientist. I can't explain several things that the scientists say that indicates to them that the universe is old. But Paul says, let God be true and every man a liar. And we need to remember that several scientific theories have been debunked down through the centuries. 1600, scientists thought that the sun revolved around the earth. The 1700s, they thought that fire was caused by a release of something called phlogiston. I don't know what that is. I understand that George Washington died largely because they bled him to death, because they thought bleeding was the way you treated certain sicknesses in the 1800s. 1859, they thought that inheritance was transmitted by gimulase. 1860, folks thought that women and Africans and the African races were evolutionarily and intellectually inferior to white men. In the 1940s, lobotomies were used to treat mentally ill people. We don't do that today. The 1960s, the steady state theory of the universe was replaced by the Big Bang theory, and that's now being challenged by something called string theory. I have no idea what that is. In the 2000s, we were told that autism was caused by childhood vaccines. That idea has been rejected. In the 20th century, eugenics were practiced to eradicate genetically inferior people. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Someone has well said, there are questions that I can't answer, but there are answers that I do not question. Thank you.